Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
Steve Cochran Show, but it's not Steve Cochran. It's me. Nick DiGilio filling in for Steve Cochran today and tomorrow. Do we know where Steve is?
He's just taking a few days off, I think, or am I blowing his covert operation?
No, I think he kind of admitted that he failed to do any advanced planning for this time off, so he's basically staying home.
He's
it's
golfing.
A staycation.
It's one of those things where it's like, you know, you get, because we're almost to April already,
yeah,
which is incredible.
That?
And if you've not used some of your vacation time, you go, oh, it's April.
Because,
you know, it doesn't roll over, man. It's done. Once at the end of the year, you can't save up vacations
no,
or anything like that.
Gotta space it out.
For us, it doesn't. Different people in different jobs, obviously, it does.
Right. Well, here at GN. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have a friend. She has, I think, 6 months worth of time off that she's just banked.
Wow.
I know.
Oh, I wish carries we could over. Do that.
Is that why Spike retired so early? Did he have all that vacation time? I think he probably had 25 years worth of vacation,
yeah,
didn't he?
He probably did.
Is that what happened? All right, it's Nick DiGilio here on WGN on your morning show, and we got some great stuff. Got Kevin Moses coming up. My dad's going to call in and tell a joke in just a few minutes.
Yes.
That'll be coming up. Steve Dale is going to be live in Stewart. I read the wrong thing. He's going to be live in studio.
Yeah.
And evidently, I understand he may be bringing an animal of some kind.
Usually yeah, does.
Usually does brings he? Puppies.
Yes.
It's quite a sight, not only the puppy, but to see Dave playing with the puppy.
I get down on the floor and play with the puppies.
I've been in here with they brought in a puppy one time when I was here, and Dave, I thought you were going to go home with it.
Yeah.
You had it, you were holding on to it, and I was like, well, there's no way that you can peel Dave
come
away
close
from this.
A couple times.
I know, I bet you have.
You're starting straight out of context early, too.
Yeah, well, that's how it works here. Every time anybody opens their mouth. Dean Richards will be with us. Eric Childress, my movie guy who I review movies with every Monday morning, is going to join me to talk a little bit about the movie, the movies over the weekend, but to really talk about the box office. He does a box office analysis for movies.com every Monday, and we usually talk about it on my show, the early part. In between 2 and 5, but we're going to talk about it a little bit later, considering the record-breaking money that one of the worst movies of the year, the Batman movie, Batman versus Spider-Man, Superman. I don't even know what the hell it is. Batman versus Superman. Unbelievably bad.
Yeah, I want to see it, but now I don't.
2 hours and 40 minutes.
That you'll never get back.
I'll never get that back. Yeah. I mean, it was terrible. It was unbelievably bad.
I want to ask you about My Big Fat Greek Wedding, too.
I didn't see
two.
It.
Oh, maybe Eric
I did not see it. We were going to... Yeah, Eric probably did.
Okay, good.
We were going to go... It was my mother's birthday was this past weekend, and we went out and celebrated that and Easter on Saturday.
Yeah.
So we were going to go see it on Saturday, but then we were just like... We're at the Gale Street Inn, and we're eating ribs, and we're like, that's it.
Yeah.
So we'll probably see it next week.
I hear it's better than people thought. You know, because you have a sequel 13 years later. People are going, oh. But people are saying it's cute, heartwarming, and
a couple
nice.
Of my friends saw it over the weekend. They loved it.
Yeah, good.
But
yeah,
they're girls, too, I haven't heard from a guy.
It's a, you know, I mean, there's a built-in audience for that movie.
Yeah,
you know,
there is.
Because the first one did not appeal to me.
Oh, God, really?
What?
No, God. But you know what, though? It's different. Yeah, because obviously you're a guy. I'm watching basically my autobiography on
screen.
No,
obviously you've got a connection to it.
Right.
In that regard, but I just didn't. It just wasn't my. It wasn't my thing. I did use Windex in different ways, though. After I saw that movie, so when I'm on, we usually throw out a text question for people. If you feel like texting in, I would love to hear from you. Our text number is 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. So today's today. You know what? I've got 4 hours left on this shift. I should learn how to speak by now.
You will.
Text question is this, and you can answer this question throughout the entire morning. We'll go back and read some of the texts that come in. But I have a friend, my buddy Dmitry Samarov, who is now a writer. He writes book reviews for the Tribune. He writes columns for the Reader. Wrote a couple of books about his years as a cab driver, and he's also an artist. But he recently gave up all social media, all of it. Got off of Twitter, got off of Facebook, got off of Instagram, all of it, done.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that his life is much better.
I love this guy.
It. So my question is, are there people out there who did what Dmitry did? Have you dropped out of social media? Do you not use social media at all? It got to the point where he said he would go to parties and stuff and then just look at his feed.
Right.
And not look at any human beings. He wouldn't talk to anybody. He would just look at his feed and see if he was liked by anything or, you know, how his last tweet went, you know, what was happening. He would, you know, he was just kind of obsessed with it. And so he said, that's it, I'm done. And it was a drastic thing. You know, I mean, to just completely be obsessed with Twitter and have the Instagram and have the Facebook and then just cut it all off. But it said it made a huge difference in his life. He connected more with people. He does more things. He reads more. Yeah, it's just an interesting question that I thought I'd throw out there. If anybody out there wants to text in at 312-981-7200, we'll go periodically through the morning and read some of your responses. But if you've given up social media or you don't use social media at all, never have, how does that work out for you? Especially if you've given it up, like if you're like, I'm done with this stuff. So text us throughout the morning. I'll be reading some of those responses at 312-981-7200. Okay, let's take a quick break. Oh, by the way, I wanted to ask you guys about how'd the show go Saturday.
Oh, we had a great time. Yeah, we have to thank everybody. Well, Dave and Mary came out, myself, Steve, John DeCoste, Ross Cochran, Kevin Powell. I have to thank everybody from the Wilmette Theater, Carol Debo for putting on just a fantastic show. We were sold out.
Yeah. It was great.
It was really, really fun.
I understand you did stand-up.
I did. I really, you know,
she did really well.
She did
won't say
awesome.
It, but she did really well.
She looked fantastic. Yeah. Andrea had this hot dress on.
Thank you, Mary.
She's all sequiny.
I did.
Well,
I thought
you
I'm
do
gonna,
that on purpose.
Yeah, I did. I thought I'm going to dress up so if I suck, at least people will go, hey, you looked really good.
Right.
Is that what you did when you worked stand-up?
I used to wear dresses all the time.
Sequin dresses, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, it's hard when you, is it your first time?
It was my first time.
It's terrifying. It's terrifying.
It was because, I mean, as you know, I mean, you've done it, but I mean, you go, I don't mind emceeing events or being in front of crowds or speaking, but when you're trying to make people laugh,
it's tough.
It is really
tough.
And
I've done theater for a really long time, too, but when you're in theater with other people, you can rely on other people on stage.
Yes.
There's nobody else up there. It's just you and
you and your people.
And my problem is that the time that I've done, I did stand up for about two and a half years, but I immediately go blue.
Oh, you do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and I know that that would not be appropriate this past weekend.
You'd be surprised, Nick.
Oh, is that? All right. We're going to hear more about that a little later.
It's the best part of the week, baby. It's time to hear something funny. Here we go with your music intro.
It's a jokey, jokey, jokey time. It's a jokey, jokey, jokey time. Nick's dad tells a joke.
What'd I say?
It's a jokey, jokey, jokey time. It's a jokey, jokey, jokey time. Nick's dad,
tell
a joke.
Yeah. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio in for Steve Cochran. Now, if you're a regular listener to my overnight show, which is Monday through Friday, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m., around 4:45 every Monday morning, my father calls in. My dad, Nick, has been telling jokes his entire life and continues to do so. Kind of incessantly. And he also works at the Jewels. He works at the Jewels over on Irving Park in Narragansett and entertains many of the customers who come in. As soon as they go and find my dad so they can hear a joke. And so Cochran said, you know, it was Cochran's idea. He said, you know, you should have your dad call in and tell a joke every week. So we did. And that, by the way, if you've never heard that theme song, Jason Skaggs is responsible for that earworm thing that you hear, and I hear it every Monday morning.
It's one of the best segments.
Well,
and I would say
it.
This behind your back, too.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. I know you say a lot of stuff behind my back, too. But let's say hello to my dad. Hey, Dad.
Morning, Nick.
Morning. Hey, Dave Ennett has a question for you.
Hey, Dad, how you doing, my man?
How you doing?
Good. How's Ma?
Yo, I'm doing great.
There you go. Good. He always wanted to ask that, because I ask it every week.
Okay.
All right, Dad, you got a joke?
I got a joke.
All right, let's hear it.
Said, why did the doctor fail as a kidnapper? Because nobody could read his ransom notes.
Very good, Dad. See, because nobody can read his ransom notes.
I had one on the way back home after dropping you off. We, on the expressway, a semi-trailer had tipped over, and it was loaded with toupees. And when we left, the police were still combing the area.
So we got a twofer today. We got a twofer. It's not even Tuesday, and we got a twofer.
Yeah. Love it.
All right, Dad. Thanks, man.
Nick.
See you later.
Thank you.
I want more jokes.
Bye.
Bye. See you later.
Come back, Nick.
We should have him do stand-up.
Yeah. Well, my dad, it was like 30 years ago, my parents went on a cruise.
Uh-oh.
And... You know, my dad got up on stage and told jokes, And I remember they had a video of it. They, you know, they made a, you know, like a, to, for memory purposes, they had a video made of this. And it was for their 25th anniversary. So it was about 27 years ago or so when they did this. And my dad went up on stage and started telling jokes of that caliber. You know, like, you know, like, hey, they're still combing, you know, the area. and so the band messed with him. There was a band up on stage. And so while he was up there telling the jokes, which I, you know, as you know, Andrea, it takes a lot of guts to do that.
Oh, completely.
So, but they open up the, to my dad doesn't even see it. He's standing in front, and they open up the curtain behind him, and all the band members are acting like they're dead.
Oh.
Like they're laying there like the band has been killed by the jokes.
Oh, nice.
And my dad just kind of turns around, and he starts laughing, and it was so, but yeah, he did do it on this cruise one time.
Didn't they have the drummer going, ba-dum-bum?
No, because they acted like he was, like.
Oh, he was dead too?
Yeah, they were all dead.
Oh.
And then
the,
so.
That's
but,
too funny.
Yeah, it was funny.
But, it was announced on Saturday night that Mary and I are going to be doing stand-up the next show.
Is that right?
Dave.
Are you guys going to be?
We didn't announce it.
Yeah.
We didn't announce it.
You guys should do it again.
You guys could be like Nichols and May. Why don't you go up as a team?
Yeah,
well,
you should.
Well, actually, we talked about that.
Who?
Stiller and Mira.
Stiller and Mira.
Okay, I got that.
Yeah. You don't know Nichols and May?
Rowan and Martin.
Well, there's
two guys.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Nichols and Mary, you don't know who Nichols and May is?
Sorry.
Mike Nichols, Elaine May?
Oh, Elaine May. I do know her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Sorry, did I date myself there?
No, you're as old as me.
I know. Stiller and Mira, I guess, would have been the go-to one, right? That should have been the one I went to. Yeah.
Yes, that would have been the go-to.
So, you know, you have to make people laugh, though, Dave.
I think Dave's hilarious.
I think he is, too.
Yeah.
He was the butt of many of our jokes, and I apologize,
no,
but it was such great fodder.
The butt of many of your jokes.
By the way, I apologize to... Yeah, that's true. I apologize to your wife. I said, you know I was joking. She said, oh, I thought it was hilarious.
Sure.
Your wife's awesome.
She didn't think that.
She told me that. Maybe she was just being nice. She said, I like your dress.
No, she did. No, she did.
Yeah.
Andrew, you were very funny with your Greek family stories.
Oh,
those
yeah.
were the best.
Those were all true. I was just telling, you know, what type of, I guess, art imitates life. I mean,
yeah.
But it just, I was talking a lot about my family. And, of course, everyone has these long Greek names. And one was fighting with the other. And we were trying to book Nia Vardalos for the show. And I had to go through about 10 different people with all these long Greek names.
Yeah.
And people were laughing. I said, but this is all true.
Yeah. So, you know, good. But you got to know when you're doing that kind of stuff, personal experiences are the best things to come from.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you're writing about that kind of stuff or delivering that stuff.
I was calling it terrifyingly wonderful.
Yeah. When you were up there?
How
many minutes did you do?
What, 5 to 7 maybe?
Yeah.
How long was it?
Oh, I thought it was long.
Was it longer?
I
10 minutes?
It was longer than that. Maybe 15?
Maybe 10 minutes?
Oh, it didn't feel that long.
I didn't say it felt that long. That's how
long
it was.
I don't know,
Mary.
God, what were you up there?
Long.
You were up there for like an hour and a half. I grew a beard by the time you finished.
Oh. I ordered a pizza and it came.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on that for the first time. I know Ross hadn't been on stage in a while. And it was just
Ross was
well,
very
Ross is
funny.
Very funny. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
He had the new dad stories.
I bet. Yeah.
Diaper changing stories.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Kevin. We all know Kevin.
Mm-hmm. Kevin did his fast food.
Yeah. He did a live fast food review.
He did a live fast food review.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
With the beautiful music.
Did he ever once refer to himself as Maximus?
No.
No.
Okay. He's not Maximus anymore. He's lost so much weight. He's Minimus.
Well, okay, there you go. He's Minimus now. All right. Well, we got a break here. Coming up after the news, Dr. Kevin Most will be here and for his visit. And, of course, that's brought to you by Northwestern Medicine. We'll take a quick break, and the news is next.
Woke up after midnight, both my neck and arms were sore. On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before. And I wish that there was someone I could call. The WGN hotline. I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now. I've got a stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you
I'd
now.
I'd be concerned about that fungus.
He's from Central DuPage Hospital.
Right. Well, he is from Central DuPage Hospital.
Right now.
Dr. Most, Dr. Kevin Most joins Steve Cochran. And sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day. And let us welcome Dr. Kevin Most to the show. Doctor, how are you, man?
Doing great, Nick. How about yourself?
Not bad. Not bad. Good. And welcome to the show, as usual. You know, Andre and I were talking, and Andre brought this up when we were talking off the air. Before we get into, you know, some of the other things that you want to talk about, we're going to talk about who's caring for you while you're in the hospital and break that down a little bit. But, Andre, you made an interesting observation. We were both talking about this off the air. Why don't you ask?
Well, it's just, you know, because we work, you know, downtown, obviously, and we're near Northwestern. We're near a lot of different hospitals. And I always see workers in their scrubs, either on the L or on the bus or walking down the street or even just, you know, sitting outside having a cigarette break or having lunch. So I said to Nick, I went, when they wear scrubs out like that, do they go back into the hospital and change, or is that just and again, this is coming from the germaphobe, I will fully admit, but I'm thinking, okay, they're on the L, whoever it might be, and I see this all the time. So are they required to, or I guess hospital workers required to change once they get into the hospital?
Yeah, first, hopefully you're not seeing too many of those people. Hopefully you're not seeing too many of those people smoking. So that would be a bad sign to have someone in scrubs smoking. But yeah, the expectation is it depends. So some of the people that actually, a lot of nurses will wear something that looks like scrubs, that's their uniform. And then a lot of medical students and residents who are rotating in the hospital, they may wear scrubs as a uniform as well. But anybody who's going to be going into a procedural area, whether it's surgery or the GI lab or any of those where the scrubs are going to be worn while they're doing a procedure, the expectation is that they will change into clean scrubs. We have carts and carts and carts full of scrubs. So they may wear a set in. They're going to go and change into fresh scrubs as they enter the surgical suite. And you have to remember, even in the surgery area where they're wearing scrubs underneath, they have protective garments. They have gowns, they have gloves, they have masks on top of those scrubs as well.
Okay, thank God.
No, you know, I mean, it's, you know, Andre brought this up, and I can't tell you the number of times I've seen people in scrubs, like on the L, and the L is not the most hygienic place to
be. No,
no. It just isn't. And Andre is much more of a germaphobe than I am. I'll touch toilet handles. I don't, you know.
Oh, no.
Doesn't I mean, these guys come in here in the morning and they spray down everything and there's disinfectant all over the place. And I just kind of sit down and, you know.
I'll clean yours tomorrow.
Hospitals actually appreciate when people wear the scrubs back because then they're returning them. So if they left the day before in scrubs, they at least bring them back to us.
Now, is that
wash them, launder them.
Hold on a second. Is that an epidemic? Are people just ripping off scrubs?
Oh, I mean, scrubs leave the hospital all the time. People, and if you've never worn scrubs, they're very comfortable.
Yes,
so
they are.
People like that. If you took most medical students or residents and went to their apartments or homes, you would find a few pair of scrubs, definitely.
Yeah. You know, I went to high school with a kid who, this was, you know, obviously 30-something years ago. I went to high school with this kid who wore scrubs every day.
Really?
Every day. I don't know. His father was a cop. I don't know if his mother was a doctor or a nurse or anything, but the kid had different scrubs. He had like a collection of scrubs, Dr. Mouse. So
yeah, you know, there's a bunch of stores out there. And I'll tell you, in some hospitals, because of the people that want to take them home, there's a bunch of hospitals that make the scrubs as ugly as they possibly can.
So they don't leave with them.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it's an easy thing. It's like, you know, what was it that Einstein had the same outfit in his closet every day.
Right.
Because he didn't want to think about, you know, what he was going to wear.
What to wear.
This kid would just, you know, put on a pair of jeans and throw some scrubs on.
That's what takes up a huge part of my day, trying to figure out what to wear.
You just need
me too. I can't tell you how long it took for me to pick out this T-shirt I'm wearing.
And some of them are so cute, too, you know, especially the peds ones. You know, the people in pediatrics, they wear the cutest
scrubs.
Oh,
I thought you were talking about my clothes.
I was
like,
too.
What?
No, I'm talking about scrubs.
Oh, okay.
Not yours.
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, no, they're great.
Yeah, thanks. All right, Dr. Most, hang on, all right?
You got it.
All right, Dr. Kevin Most is with us. And by the way, we have a text question out there, and we want to hear from you. The text number is 312-981-7200. Send your text. Here's the question. We're going to get answers from you guys throughout the morning. I have a friend who is completely cut himself off and stopped social media of every kind. He cut himself off from Instagram. He cut himself off from Twitter and from Facebook, all that stuff. And he says that his life has shown much improvement. And he was a guy who was on social media all the time. So my question to you is, have you given up social media? If you have, how has it impacted you? Or if you've never used social media, how is that for you? 312-981-7200 throughout the morning. We'll go and check out what you guys have said about that. 312 312- 981-7200 if you've given up social media. By the way, this is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day, and that's for Dr. Most.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
.650 on 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio in for Steve Cochran, who is off on assignment. I don't know what that means.
Covert operation.
It's always very mysterioso when Steve is off. But I'm happy to be here, filling in. We got a lot of great stuff coming in. We got some texts that have been coming in with our text question of the morning, which is, have you given up social media? I have a friend who completely cut himself off from it, and his life has improved, according to him. And I'm wondering how you guys feel about that, if you've ever tried that. 312-981-7200. David Hasselhoff is going to join us after the 7 o'clock news to talk about his new TV show called Hoff the Record.
I got to see this. It sounds hilarious.
I watched the first episode of it. It's actually very funny. But right now, the great Dr. Kevin Most joins us. Doctor, welcome back, sir.
Yeah, good to be back, Nick.
Okay.
Nice that you're filling in for Steve. You know what? He's just sleeping in, I guess, these next couple of days, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. They tell me where to go and read things.
Yeah.
Just sit here, read this, shut up. That's pretty much what I'm supposed to do. Well, listen, a lot of people out there don't really understand why their doctor isn't really taking care of them in the hospital. And then, like, some people want to know who is actually taking care of them in the hospital. So why is the family doc not caring for people?
Yeah, now there are some family docs and some internal medicine docs that still do the full spectrum of medicine, where they'll check patients in the hospital and then also have an office-based practice. But what we've seen is this major change here over probably the last 10 years, where many doctors now are just taking care of patients in the office, and if they're hospitalized, they're being taken care of by a doctor based in the hospital, which we have termed a hospitalist. And all they do is care for patients when they're in the hospital. They don't have an outpatient practice. They don't practice in the office. They're only based at the hospital.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what? I did not know that. That's really interesting. Now, is that something that people – is that now an avenue that people actively pursue? Like, I want to be a hospitalist?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
And it's kind of interesting. You know, the doctors that are pursuing that, and this is not a negative term, are millennial doctors right now. So the doctors that have come out of practice recently or been out for a couple of years and are looking for a great work-life balance. So with that, they know they come in and they'll do a shift in the hospital, and then they're gone.
My niece is studying to do that. She's in Canada, and she's pregnant at this time, and she's still, you know, studying to be a hospitalist because that's the lifestyle she prefers.
How long has this been around, doctor? I mean, how long is this and the term hospitalist? How long has it been around?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. We made up the word, so everyone says, oh, I'm going to be taken care of by a hospitalist. Well, you go to the dictionary, and it's not even there. So it's been around probably for about 15 years now. Slowly in the first probably 5 to 7 years, and now it has ramped up dramatically. So every single hospital has hospitalists now. And probably one of the most important things is that hopefully you've had that conversation with your primary doctor, whether it's a family doctor, or an internal medicine doctor, and say, next time you're in, say, if I'm going to go in the hospital, will you take care of me, or will there be another doctor taking care of me? Nothing worse than the sickest you've ever been in your life. You're in the hospital room and somebody walks in and it's not that Dr. Welby that you've seen for 20 years and you feel comfortable with. It's a new doctor who you don't know at all.
Now, obviously, your family doctor or your internalist have no say over who the hospitalist is, do they? Can they give a recommendation?
Yeah, a little bit they do. So usually there's groups of hospitalists. So like here at Central DuPage, we have three major groups of hospitalists. We have a group that takes care of just our pediatric patients and our pediatric intensive care patients. And then on the regular general medicine side, we have a Northwestern-based group. And then we have a group based with the DuPage Medical Group. And so between all of them, they probably take care of close to 70 to 80% of our patients in the hospital.
Wow. Well, now, who else is taking care of us when we're in the hospital besides the hospitalist?
Yeah, that's the other part is people are saying, you know, I'm getting so confused. I saw the doctor in the morning and then someone came in the afternoon and they said they were an APN.
Yeah.
You know, and many of us don't know, many lay people don't know what an APN is. And so it's important to know who is taking care of you on the entire team. An APN is someone that's called an advanced practice nurse. Excuse me.
You all right, Doc?
Yeah, no.
You need a shot or something?
You need a hospitalist.
But an advanced practice nurse is a nurse that had her RN training and then has gone on for essentially a master's in nursing, and not to the point where she was a full doctor, so what we call them sometimes is mid-levels, and they are very highly educated nurses that actually are the right hand of the doctors. So they will come in, they'll evaluate patients, they'll check back on them, they'll educate the patient on results from a test, and they actually work as a very important part of the team to make sure that your stay in the hospital is very safe as well as very efficient.
What are some of the biggest changes in in hospitals now in terms of how we're cared for in the hospital? I know obviously technology has changed a lot, but what else has changed?
Oh, technology has changed dramatically. I mean, you know, our average length of stay for a patient that comes into the hospital right now is about 2.5-3 days. And if you think back, people used to come into the hospital for a physical. They would check in the day before, they'd have their physical, they'd stay a night, and then they'd go home. Those days are gone. I mean, even pneumonia. So people would get what we call community-acquired pneumonia. They're sick. They go into their doctor's office. I listen to your lungs. I do a chest x-ray, and I see pneumonia. Those patients always used to go to the hospital and get IV antibiotics. Now we have strong enough antibiotics that we can treat many of those on an outpatient level. Mm. And then surgery has changed dramatically as well. I mean, you know, before when we used to take out your gallbladder, we used to make a big 5-inch cut right on your right-hand side below your rib cage to take out your gallbladder. Now they do it through a laparoscope, so they make 3 little tiny punctures. They go in with tools inside, remove your gallbladder, and that's why, you know, patients are going home the same day essentially for many surgeries.
Yeah, it's incredible. Dr. Most, always a pleasure, man.
Nick, good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
Hang in there.
All right, take care of that cough, will you?
Yeah, you got it. Okay. Sorry about that.
That's all right, man. Don't worry about it. Dr. Kevin Most, everybody. We're going to take a break because we've got the news next. Yeah. Nick DiGilio here in for Steve Cochran, who is taking the day off, and he's taking tomorrow off. I'll be filling in for him tomorrow as well. That, of course, is one of the most recognizable TV themes of all time. What is it? Baywatch, right?
Baywatch.
Yeah.
This was a show that you just loved. I really liked it. You guys liked it for different reasons, probably.
Yeah.
Not the storyline and the
subplots. No, it was the subtlety and the acting and the direction that I liked. He was also David Hasselhoff is the star of Baywatch. He was also the star of Knight Rider and has had an amazing career over the past 30 some years. And he's in the Guinness Book of World Records as the most watched actor in the history of television.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. He's done theater, he's done movies, he's done all kinds of things. And his latest project is a television show that you can see on Access TV. And it's called Hoff the Record. I watched the first episode of it last night, and it's actually really very entertaining and very funny. And let's welcome the legendary David Hasselhoff to the show. David, welcome.
Hey, thank you for watching the show. I think you get a real sense of what it's about now, huh?
Oh, yeah, it's hilarious. I got to tell you, David, first of all, when did the Hassle the Hoff thing happen? When did that start?
Hassle the Hoff started back in when I was 50, which was actually 13 years ago. They invented it down in Australia where there was a group of secretaries sending emails back and forth penning the name Hoff. So I went down to Australia for the ARIA Awards, which are like the Emmys, and I went on television and I said, well, I got one thing to say, and I came up with Don't Hassle the Hoff, and they went berserk. I'm wearing a t-shirt almost every day.
Yeah,
now.
You wear it in the episode that I watched of the show. Tell everybody about the show. It's really very funny, David, and it also shows that you have a fantastic sense of humor about your image and your career, and that makes it all the funnier. Tell everybody what Hoff the Record is about.
Well, I took my image and my career, and everything has been written about me, and everything that people have a perspective or conceive about me that just really and put it in, into comedy. And you know, it got to the point where, you know, come on, guys. You know, I'm breaking news now. I thought Obama, well, they had a picture of Obama, and it came up breaking news, and it was something about me. And then Piers Morgan called me breaking news Hasselhoff, and we started laughing so hard. And my daughters are the ones that said, come on, Dad, you got to laugh at this. Look at this. You know, you got hammered at home, and you had a couple of cheeseburgers, and next thing I know is it's all over the world.
Yeah.
And she said, that's how popular you are.
Yeah.
In fact, Hulk Hogan called me the same thing. He said, that's how popular we are. We sell tickets. And I said, you know, that's what it's all about. It's about selling tickets. So I played it straight and did what I had to do and got custody of my kids and moved forward. And then I went, you know what? Let's take this image and this perception of me and put it in a TV series like Curb Your Enthusiasm, and because it's so crazy. Mm-hmm. And then do what people think I'm about and put that in there. And we did, and we had so much fun of a guy who just, you know, is kind of the eternal optimist who keeps walking into his own stuff, but he keeps walking out okay.
Yeah.
And that's kind of who I am. I'm, you know, I'm still a dad, I'm still a person, I'm still a guy, picking up the phone, doing the radio, but underneath of it all, you know, I have this perception of this larger-than-life personality, larger-than-life world. And in a way, it's true. I mean, I go all over the world. I do crazy things. I do whatever happens. I do some of the world's worst movies. I do some of the best stuff. But it's all true. So we took the whole thing, put it into a comedy series, and we did 6 episodes, and they took off like a rocket. Now we did 6 more, and then Mark Cuban came along and said, I love this show. I love Hasselhoff in it. I want to move it to L.A., and let's go. And so hopefully on Thursday when it airs, we're going to get enough ratings that the people will love it, and we'll keep moving on because I want to work in L.A.
I don't blame you. It's on Access TV, folks, if you want to check it out. It's very funny. I watched the first episode. I got to tell you, David, you're very funny in it, but you have got yourself surrounded by some really hilarious people, from the guy who plays your driver to the guy who played, and I got to tell you, the personal trainer destroyed me. That guy is hilarious. I mean, really funny people. Where did the production find some of these people?
He's about to break out in a huge movie. He visited everybody. The guys who do An Idiot Abroad with Ricky Gervais produced this, and we just went out. We found the best people, best stand-ups, and the best improvisational guys and they're all working, and we put them all together, and they were all really honored and happy to work with me, and I had no idea how great they were until we said, okay, let's just turn it on. So what we would do is we would sit into a room and say, now, there's a young boy in my room, his name is Dieter. That's the end of the story. That's all we gave.
Yeah.
So I walk and I go, hello, my name is Dieter. I said, Dieter who? He goes, Dieter Hasselhoff. I go, Dad. And I go, where'd you get that jacket? And we just improvisation, and we improv, and all of a sudden it turns into gold, and we write it down, and then we make it into a scene, and then we go back after we shot that scene, and we do the improv again, and we look for more diamonds. Most of it's just a bunch of fun and doesn't really work.
Yeah.
And then we get a couple little nuggets in there that we can run with. But I'm telling you, the driver is great, and I'm so glad you picked up the trainer.
Oh.
We written him in really a lot more because he's so freaking
funny. He's unbelievably funny. When he's talking about your ass, I almost fell off the couch. It was it was hilarious.
Yeah, and he made all that stuff up on the spot. I mean, we're all behind the camera, just like trying to keep from laughing too loud because we were breaking up the take, you know. But and he's a hell of a nice guy. And then the funny thing about it is they all are excited about this because they all want to work in L.A., of course, and because it's a better job, it's better money, but it's also just reaches the world. And we're about to go. I mean, we've got everything. All we need now is an audience.
It
and
did,
I'm hoping
it,
that
I think people should watch it. I think it's very, very funny. And I'm glad that you mentioned, because it is, you know, if you wanted to compare it to something like that, it did remind me a lot of Curb Your Enthusiasm, whereas you're playing yourself, but it's not really you, the same way that Larry David is playing himself, but it's not really him, and you're just playing with that image. And yeah. I got to say, David, I got to give you a lot of credit for letting everybody bring up a lot of stuff. Like, I really had no idea that even in the first episode, you went right for the cheeseburger thing. And I never thought that would come up, but that was like 15 minutes into the first episode.
I went for it. I just said, you know what? I got to put it out in front, and I got to show the world how I really felt. And that was the first time that I was able to actually tell the world how I really felt, and I did it through humor and through comedy and through my craft. And I was really proud of that because I wasn't on selling some stupid newspaper. I wasn't on CNN where Larry King must have called me 30 times, you know, or Diane Sawyer. Everybody wanted me to come on to talk about some crap about, you know, something that happened in my private home with my daughter. I can't be a break. I said, what are you talking about? It's nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and they turned it into something so big that I had to address it. And
it's very amusing. It's very amusing in the show. I mean, the bit is very, very funny. It's a really terrific show, David. Congratulations on it, man. I hope it's a big success for you. I can't wait to watch the other five episodes. I watched the first one and I'm totally hook, line and sinker, man. It's very funny.
Great. Awesome. Thank you, man.
And so Hoff the Record Thursday night here on Access TV. You can check it out on Access TV, and it starts on Thursday, and I highly recommend everybody watch it. Congratulations on everything, man, your career, your life, getting it all back together and having this really funny show, man. Congrats.
Thank you, so it's good to be back.
All right, man. Take care.
All right.
Bye. There you go. David Hasselhoff. Don't hassle the Hoff.
You know, we should ask him. I wonder if they would ever do like a Knight Rider, maybe either a movie or a reunion.
Well, they brought Knight Rider back a few years ago.
Yeah.
He wasn't in it, but they had like a new Knight Rider.
And
the Knight Rider fans were not happy.
No, I know. I did love that show.
He's not on anymore.
I know.
I never watched Baywatch and I never watched Knight.
No kidding.
I've never seen one full episode of either of those shows.
Really?
I only know Hasselhoff through, you know, him being Hasselhoff. I used to watch America's Got Talent and stuff.
Yeah.
But this show is hilarious.
Yeah,
this
I'm gonna
new show,
watch
I'm
this.
Telling you. I mean it. It's really fun.
And I'm glad he addresses, because, you know, that is a white elephant in the room. That's
the
cheeseburger episode.
And it's like, seriously, it's 15 minutes into the first episode. They're reenacting the cheeseburger bit.
Wow.
And I was like, wow. So it really is. It's very funny. It's called Hoff the Record. Really, he's good in it. But, man, I'm telling you, he's got himself some amazingly funny people surrounding him. And it's a terrific show. And I hope it's a success for him. So it's Hoff the Record on Access TV.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
720 WGN.
Nick DiGilio, he is in for Steve Cochran. That is me, filling in for Steve today and tomorrow. Steve is on a covert mission somewhere that we don't want to discuss. We'll blow his cover. So I'm Nick, and I'm in today and tomorrow. Coming up a little bit later on, we'll be talking with Eric Childress, my movie guy, about the box office over the weekend. Dean Richards will be joining us. Steve Dale is going to be live in studio, and Dave is going to be so excited because puppies will be running around the studio.
Well, at least one, hope.
Yeah. And big weekend for the Hawks, Dave, as you've been reporting this morning. Last night they did indeed clinch a spot in the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
and for the eighth year in a row, which is pretty magnificent. And we have the Blackhawks Express that we want to play back so we can give you all the highlights from last night's game. It's sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Here's the Express.
Chicago! Chicago Blackhawks can clinch a playoff spot with one point tonight here in Vancouver as they finish off their season series with the Canucks, a team that will miss the playoffs for the second time in 3 years. And with the Central Division rivals encroaching on the Blackhawks' position, the Hawks have got to show no mercy and come to play here tonight in Vancouver. We're underway here in Vancouver as the Canucks win the draw. Ben Hutton tosses a pass up the left wing at center ice for Daniel Sedin. And Keith was able to wave it ahead to center ice. Here's Patrick Kane over the Canuck line, right point to the slot, and a shot by Panarin from the left circle hits the post. Oh, man, what a setup by Teravainen to Panarin. And he got away a good shot, but he hit the iron. down the boards to Fleischman. He'll spin it down in behind the Canuck net. Rasmussen out to Ehrhoff, left point to Van Riemsdyk, right point. High slot now. Fleischman shoots. He scores! Tomas Fleischman off of a perfect setup from Trevor Van Riemsdyk. And a real heads-up play by Van Riemsdyk. He could have fired it at the Canuck net. Instead, he found Fleischman winding his way free in the high slot, and he rifled it past Miller. It's 1-0 Hawks. To Gauntz at the Hawk line. And a puck check there by Ehrhoff sends it the other way. Kane over the Canuck line, left wing to the slot. Teravainen, one-timer! And down is Miller with a butterfly save. Boy, Miller's made some big saves here for the Canucks. Needham at center ice to Lyndon Bay over the Hawk line, down the right wing. Hit by Hosa along the boards. Lost the puck down to the corner. Svedberg battling, lost the puck to Bay. Flipped it in front. Burrow shoots and scores! Alexander Burrows moved into the slot area, and that pass was careening through the air. And Burrows just slapped it past Darling. We're tied at one. Bay into the Hawks on the left circle, put it in front, right hand on the drive. Big save with the glove by Darling. He just got the cheater portion on that shot and knocked it wide. Then a shot from Viega for the right point, and Darling knocked it wide with the glove again. Then Aaron shot the puck down ice into the Canuck zone near corner. Kane races in to get it. Fed the slot. Van Riemsdyk to Teravainen, and he shoots. He scores! Another pure brilliant setup there by Trevor Van Riemsdyk. Finds Teuvo Teravainen at the right circle, and he snapped it past Miller. And the Hawks are back on top at 2-1. Now the Canucks gain center ice. Ben Hutton passing to Daniel Sedin over the Hawk line on the left wing. To Berchi, left circle, put it in front. Oh, what a save by Darling on a point-blank chance from the far side by Burrows. Darling, 6'6", flew across the crease and got the glove on Burrows' shot. That was a sure goal, and that's the save of the game for the Hawks. To Panarin, he tried to deke it through the legs of Berchi, who took the puck away. Sends Edom over the Hawk line, down the right wing, put it in front of the Hawk net. They score! Sven Berchi coming down the near side, found the loose puck in the Hawk crease, and snapped it in behind Scott Darling with 5:42 left in the third. We're tied at two. Keith takes a hit from Daniel Sedin, but put the puck around. Up the right side to Ladd, kicks it to Taves on a 2-on-1 break over the Canuck line. Right circle, cuts to the slot, drop pass Ladd, shoots, he scores! From nearby Maple Ridge, BC, Andrew Ladd drives it past Ryan Miller. That's Ladd's third goal in two nights, and the Hawks now lead the Canucks 3-2. Barkowski at center ice with five. He shot it to the Hawk line, knocked away by Desjardins with 2-1, and the Hawks have won two in a row and clinched the playoff spot. The Blackhawks have beaten the Vancouver Canucks here tonight in Vancouver 3-2. They win the series, two wins against one loss, and more importantly, pick up two huge points in the standings. The Blackhawks record now 44-25-7. They'll head to Minnesota tonight looking for two more there.
All right. Big game last night, and Hawks are back tomorrow night. They'll be playing in Minnesota, and it's a 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock puck drop.
Correct.
Okay, and it would be really nice if they could actually beat Minnesota.
It would be. Yeah. It would be. Right now, Minnesota looks like Minnesota has the second wild card pretty much wrapped up.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got, I think, a 5-point lead on Colorado. But they're 6 points behind Nashville for that first wild card. So it doesn't look like they're going to get there.
Yeah. And they, man, they've just had the Hawks number all year.
They have this year, but... Seems to me, Nick, when the Blackhawks have played Minnesota in the playoffs,
yeah,
it's been the other way around.
But no, that's always a lot of fun. That's always a lot of fun. You know, but even the in the alumni game this year, for God's sake,
they won the alumni game.
You know, the North Stars beat us. Dino Cicerelli, I can't stand. I still hate that guy. I still hate him. All right, we got a break here. We got the news coming up, and we got some answers to your tech question, which is the text question, 312-981-7200. Have you given up social media at all? I have a friend who completely did that, and I'd like to hear from you as well. All right, we got a break here for the big story coming up after this.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
Good morning, everybody. Hi, Nick DiGilio. That's me filling in for Steve Cochran. He's off today and tomorrow, so I'm filling in. I want to thank Dane Neal for filling in on my show, and he'll be filling in tomorrow morning as well at 2 a.m. I'm normally on 2 to 5. So, hey, I wanted to mention, you know, we mentioned in after the Express and in sports that the Hawks are going to be playing the Minnesota Wild, but they've teamed up with the Wild for a really nice and important thing. The Wild and the Blackhawks have united in support of Matt Olson. Matt Olson is a Minnesota native. He sustained a very severe spinal cord injury last month while he was playing junior hockey for the Chicago Cougars. And now the Wild and the Blackhawks have donated a bunch of really amazing things and one-of-a-kind experiences, like rare opportunities for traveling, you know, on the team planes to a road game or being player for the day, all kinds of really great stuff that you can bid on to help out Matt Olson. You can find the link to get to the right place to bid at the auction at WGNradio.com/events. The auction bids are accepted through noon on Wednesday. So get in there. And there's also ways to find out how you can bid in the auction and donate to Matt Olson's GoFundMe page, which is really important. So it's really cool that these teams have gotten together and done this for Matt Olson. Devastating injury, and he needs all the help and all the thoughts that we can give him. So really cool things that you can donate, and you can also bid on these auctions. And again, it's accepted through noon on Wednesday, March 30th, WGNradio.com/events.
By the way, the current bid for the Blackhawks player for a day, which we were going to buy Steve, even though I think he's too old to actually do it. I think the bid is at $5,000 for that. And for the road trip with the Blackhawks, the current bid is $10,700.
Wow.
So I'd say this auction is being very well received.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you can get that, get those auction bids up, and you can do that till Wednesday at noon. And you can also, if you don't have the kind of money to bid on these things, but you can give money to Matt Olson's GoFundMe page,
right,
and you can donate. That's very important. And it's really pretty cool that the Wild and the Blackhawks have gotten together for this in support of this guy with the devastating injury. So help Matt Olson out by going to WGNradio.com/events. Bid if you'd like and find out how you can donate to Matt Olson's GoFundMe page. Very, very cool for the two teams to do that. My text question this morning at 312-981-7200, I'm getting several texts about it. My friend Dmitry Samarov gave up social media entirely. He stopped Twitter, he stopped Instagram, he stopped Facebook, completely stopped, because it was kind of eating up a lot of his time, and he would go to parties and then just like sit off in the corner and scroll on his phone to see, you know, who liked what and what was happening. And he got sick of it and cold turkey. Went from a smartphone, brought his smartphone in and exchanged it. They thought he was crazy. Brought his smartphone in and exchanged it for a flip phone.
Really?
Yep.
He wouldn't have the desire to even go on. None of it.
No, he'll text and he'll call people and that's it. And in terms of social media, he's done with it. And he says that his life has actually improved. And so my text question is, have you done this? Have you tried this? 312-981-7200. We got some texts coming in. 630 area code says, how are people going to answer you if you give up social media? Isn't that texting? Two. No, texting doesn't fall under social media.
No.
That's communicating. Texting is like calling someone.
Right. Social media are the websites where you go and you see the pictures or the tweets.
Twitter,
basically,
all that stuff.
You see what other people are doing.
Right.
Or talking about.
But so 815 area code says, I had Facebook for about a week. Haven't had any social media since. Too many family members have all of a sudden contacting me like I somehow started liking them. That's always good. People come out of the woodwork, man.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, man. 708 area code says, I also gave up social media about 2 years ago. It's been amazing. I'm no longer getting upset about everyone's amazing children and fabulous husbands. I also have more time for real life. Now I just wish my husband would stop. See, that's an interesting thing. Dimitri's single. So it wasn't like, you know, like his wife or his girlfriend or anything is going to remain on social media and he isn't. That's got to be kind of an interesting thing.
I actually have a couple friends. They have the same account, so it's, which is strange. I don't know why he just doesn't get one or she just doesn't get one.
They share it?
They share it, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's odd.
Okay. I think a lot of people do that.
Instead of just having your own page and then your wife or your girlfriend.
That's kind of awkward, because then if you like something, you don't know if you're liking it more for them or
that's
for the other, or, you know.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's confusing. That's true.
But then, you know what I get? I bet doing that, what your friend did, would save a lot of hurt feelings, because I know you don't do this, or Dave probably doesn't, but Mary and I, you know, if I go on out and I see, you know, friends of mine who I haven't seen in a long time, they all got together and there's pictures, then I'll think, well, why didn't they ask me to go?
Mm.
Yeah.
I know you could probably care
less. You have to really think before you post something. Like, who is this going to hurt or offend?
Right.
Or, you know, it just drives you nuts.
Yeah. It is perplexing. All right, I have more of these. We've got, we'll talk a little bit more about this coming up, but we got a break here. Morning, everybody. Hi. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, filling in for Steve Cochran. After 8 o'clock, our old buddy Dean Richards will join us to talk showbiz and whatever else he wants to talk about. Later on in the show, Eric Childress is going to join me. He's my movie guy. I review movies with him and Colin Suter on my overnight show every Monday. He writes a box office. He does a very detailed analysis of the box office each weekend, and we're going to talk about the box office and how much money one of the worst movies of the year made over the weekend, and it made a ton of money. The Batman versus Superman movie, which is horrible, but it made a lot of money. So we'll talk about that as well.
It looks very dark. You know, I like my superhero movies to be,
well,
I don't know, less dark.
Well, you know, it is dark, and you can thank Christopher Nolan for that. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, everybody loves the Christopher Nolan Batman movies. I'm the only person that does not like them. I don't like The Dark Knight. I don't like The Dark Knight Rises. I don't like Batman Begins. I don't like them at all. It's odd because every other Christopher Nolan movie I love. Like, every movie that's not a Batman movie that Christopher Nolan has made, I think is great.
Right.
But I just don't get it. And that seems to be the trend. And that's definitely the way that Zack Snyder, the director of these Man of Steel and this, that's the direction he wants to go in. Really, really dark.
Were you saying last week, too, Nick, that there's too many main characters? There's too many.
Well, I mean, like I was saying, one of the reasons why.
I agree with
the
you.
The Batman movies of the 90s, the early 90s and mid 90s, when Joel Schumacher took over the franchise, they thought, well, you know, well, let's have 15 villains in each movie, and that'll make it better. And it's not true.
No.
Now, what they're trying to do here, the reason why this movie is like 2 hours and 40 minutes long, the new Batman Superman movie, is that they want to launch like Marvel launched the Avengers series, where they've got a whole bunch of different superheroes and villains in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But they've done it over the course of a bunch of years and a bunch of different movies. Here, it's Batman versus Superman. They're trying to launch the Justice League mm-hmm. series. So they introduce a bunch of different characters in this one.
Like Wonder Woman.
Like Wonder Woman is in there, and then you get a peek at a few other characters, like Aquaman is in it, and The Flash. And I don't even know there was another one, like a Cyborg or something, isn't it? And so they introduced these characters because they're setting up this whole Justice League universe that is going to compete with the Avengers. But, I mean, it's dark, because it is dark, but it's also just terrible. I mean, the script is horrible. It's non-existent. It just lumbers along. There are like 9,000 dream sequences in it, including one extended battle sequence that turns out to be a dream. Like, it's in there for no reason. Like, it's like there's this very long, complicated tracking shot fight scene between Batman and a bunch of other people, and then he wakes up. It's a dream. It's terrible on every level. But, you know, we all knew it was going to make a ton of money, and it made like $170 million over the weekend, and then like worldwide of like 400 some million. So, not a surprise that it made a lot of money. It's just a terrible movie. But we'll get into the box office. That'll be coming up a little bit later. It was not good. But I was asking about the social media and how you guys, if you've cut yourself off from social media. We're getting a ton of texts here. 773 area code says, never use social media, never will. It's a way to be impersonal and it's way too convenient for bullies to have something to hide behind. That's exactly right. You can be anonymous online and say whatever you want to say. And, you know, like, I can't tell you the number of times, like, if a news story pops up on my news feed, and I can't tell you how many times we've said this, too. Don't read the comments.
Oh, never.
It's the absolute worst. It's the worst.
You know, and you have to be careful. You bring up a really good point. I always tell students this in this, you know, this ever-present world where news is, you know, literally at the touch of your fingertips. You have to confirm everything.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, just because, you know, Nick B. says blah, blah, blah happened, well, it doesn't necessarily mean it happened. You got to confirm it.
Well,
you have
to
be careful.
You know, you have to really, like, you know, triple check everything
yeah.
before you even remotely believe it. And anybody who goes to Wikipedia as the only source.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Now, you know, Dave, anybody can go in and change whatever they want on every Wikipedia.
What?
Oh, yeah.
I know. True. I like that flexibility.
Yeah. At one point on my Wikipedia page, which, by the way, I didn't start. I have no idea who started it. I have no idea, which is terrifying enough. At one point, they said I had 12 kids and I was born in 1865. Both. What? Both of which might be true.
Yeah,
but
might
no,
be your great great grandfather.
Yeah.
What was General Lee like?
He was a great guy. Great guy. I don't know. Ask my 47 grandchildren. I don't know. Let's see. 815 area code says, I punched out of social media 14 months ago and I have not regretted it at all. It's a black hole that sucks hours away from your life. Exactly what my friend Dimitri said.
That I agree with, because we were just talking before. Yeah, you know, before I go to bed, I'll just kind of look over the phone again, see if I missed any emails, and then there we go.
Yeah,
there's Facebook.
And how often do you guys use it? Like Andrea, I know you're on it a lot.
Constantly, yeah.
Dave, what about you?
Not a ton. I mean, I do usually check. You know, if I get a notification that one of my kids has posted something mm-hmm. or there's something of interest to me, I will look. But I will tell you that I believe in an election year, there is so much vitriol there that it just drives me nuts.
That's a great point too, because I'll put news stories. Hillary Clinton won Illinois. Donald Trump won Illinois. It's not an opinion. It's a fact. It's a news story. It happened. And you will get, Dave's right, just the vile comments and, you know, my wall is not a forum.
No, I try to stay away from that. Mary, what about you? How do you use it?
Hold on. I'm watching a recipe.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Those are everywhere.
Those are the best, aren't they? They're so addicting when they you
mean
know,
like
have the pan.
Those 45
the ones
second
that have
things.
The pan, and they're like, okay, first coat the pan. Next, put the butter. I love them. I mean, I made an awesome dish at Easter yesterday that I got off of Facebook watching it.
That's
funny. It's just, they're awesome. I love them. I'm watching one right now. Actually cooking light.
Cooking light.
Oh, she's putting spinach in right now. Let's see. What is going on here? Oh, wait, sorry. Yeah, anyway.
Well, I think you've answered the question, Mary.
I'm terrible.
Yeah. No,
I'm getting worse.
I use it. I don't use Twitter very often. Every once in a while.
I don't either. I'm not a Twitter.
But whenever we post, like for my show, for promoting my show, we have the Facebook page. If you would like, by the way, we're going to hit 12,000 fans on our Facebook page.
Oh, that's great.
So, and that's a great way of promoting the show. It's a great way of getting people involved. It's a great way to get listeners as part of the show so that they can react and comment during the show and after the show and all that cool stuff. But whatever we post on our Facebook page immediately gets tweeted as well. It's connected. But I use it as part to help the show, to get more people involved in the show.
Right.
And to promote it. And then, like, my personal Facebook page, I post maybe 5-6 things a day at the most. At the most.
See, now that's a lot, though.
That's a
pretty
lot.
Good.
I post one every, like, 3 weeks.
Well, I mean, a lot of the stuff that I post has to do with the show.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
or a movie review thing or something.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
So, or like, I never have a picture of me on my regular Facebook page.
I noticed that.
No,
yeah.
I don't. I don't do that. The picture right now, if you go to my regular Facebook page, not the show page, the picture right now is Jerry Lewis lighting a cigarette with the giant flame coming out of the out of the lighter. So that's my Facebook.
But that says a lot about you, Nick.
It certainly does. Mm-hmm. All right. We got a break here. Coming up after the news, our buddy Dean Richards is going to join us.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
Yeah. Morning, everybody. Steve Cochran is off this morning. He'll be off tomorrow, too, and I'm filling in. Nick DiGilio, that's me. It's the 8 o'clock hour, sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks, right here on WGN in the 8 o'clock hour. That, of course, is music that we play every time our good friend Dean Richards shows up. And Dean is sponsored by the Captain James Lovell Federal Health Care Center. And we welcome Dean to the show. Dean, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Yesterday on my Sunday show, I gave you no less than 5 out of context things.
Let me tell you something, man.
By accident. I'm not doing it on purpose. But the moment that the words come out of my mouth, I'm even saying on the air, okay, 9:17.
Yeah.
Write that down and send it to Nick, because I realize
you've been an active participant in Straight Out of Context.
Apparently.
Dean, it wasn't very long. I think it was last week or the week before. You and Steve had a lovely exchange about balls.
well.
Which
we're both, you know, we're, it's you know, baseball season starting.
That's right. It's exactly that's
soccer
what it was.
Season.
What? That's how what did I was. Miss that?
Well, I don't know, but it showed up on my out of context.
Oh, balls were flying everywhere.
Hello, see you there. You go, everybody.
8:12. Write that down.
How you been, Dean?
Doing very well. Nice, you know, nice weekend.
I got to tell you real quick before we get to some of the regular stuff. As you know, I'm completely obsessed with the Johnny Carson stuff on Antenna TV.
Antenna TV, weeknights at 10.
I get home
at 9.
I get home every morning at around 6 a.m. from work, okay? And the first thing I do is watch The Night Before
you
Johnny
watch
Carson.
The great, yeah.
I'll be watching it at around 10:30 this morning.
Did you? So you haven't watched last night?
No, but I looked at the
Carlin.
Carlin? Gene Hackman?
Yeah.
Come on.
I didn't see the Gene Hackman. I fell asleep, but yeah. I saw some of the Carlin. And it made me smile, but it just made me so sad that he's gone.
Yeah.
And what an unbelievable genius, you know. And also, I should also throw in, speaking of geniuses, McLean Stevenson was on the show last night.
He was on both weekends. He was on Saturday night too.
He was on he was on Carson a lot.
Yeah, and he killed Carson, on Saturday Carson, on Saturday's show.
Carson
he killed.
Liked him.
He did. It was funny stuff. But I have to tell you, one of the things I love about the because on Saturday and Sunday it starts at 9 o'clock and they show the older
the 90 minutes,
yeah. Which I love. But I have to say, man, so far the guy who has the most insane clothing has been Buddy Hackett. Buddy Hackett came out on one episode from like 1974. He came out all denim suit.
That's smart.
Oh, it was
like
fantastic.
leisure suit.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Leisure suit, and if I remember correctly, I haven't seen Buddy Hackett on any of the reruns myself.
Yeah,
but just from my memory, wearing this little neck scarf.
Yes, he had an ascot on. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Always wearing the neck scarf. Even back in the day, I couldn't embrace those.
Buddy Hackett embracing the ascot.
I grew up on the South Side. We didn't wear too many ascots on the South Side.
Oh, man. Well, we're going to talk about it more in depth when I have Eric Childress on later with me. But this
Batman Superman?
Batman Superman broke a bunch of records. I personally think it's one of the worst movies I've seen all year.
I don't think it's one of the worst movies I've seen all year.
God.
I think it's long, but it's longer than it needs to be. But I walked out. I've seen it twice so far. And
did you lose a bet?
I enjoyed it. Oh. When I walked out both times, I enjoyed it.
Wow.
Why do you think it's one of the worst movies of all time?
The script is horrible. There are like 8,000 dream sequences that add up to nothing in it. In fact, there's one dream sequence that has this hugely choreographed fight sequence where Batman and Superman actually meet, and it didn't happen. It happens while he's sleeping at his desk. So there's like no consequence to it. I thought the handling of Wonder Woman was terrible. I thought she was good, and her first entrance is kind of cool, but they showed that in the trailer. But I thought it was beyond stupid.
Yeah, see, I mean, those dream sequence things, they're dream sequences, so they didn't bother me. I didn't think they were of no consequence. I mean, Batman is, as we know, is a troubled person.
Yeah.
I don't think I need to see the scene of Bruce... little Bruce Wayne watching his parents get murdered again.
That was like the fifth time they've done that.
It was like the fifth time. I think we get it. Who's going to go see this movie understands Bruce Wayne is a troubled person. Yeah. And, you know, it's like the first five minutes of the movie, that's something. If you cut that out of the movie, then you wouldn't even miss it. It's completely inconsequential.
And here's what I learned from the movie, Dean. Don't ever say Martha to Batman.
That's right. Yeah. Or Superman, apparently. Yeah. Apparently, that's the phrase that pays with both of them.
Well, it made $170 million.
I didn't mind it. I mean, I look at movies like this. I'll review a movie like this differently than I will Spotlight or Room or something like that. It's a superhero cartoon thing. It's long. You got to be patient. But the last half hour of the movie, if you can make it to that last half hour of the movie, it's kind of fun, I thought.
Okay. I wanted to kill myself. All right. Dean, hang on, all right?
Okay.
All right. Dean Richards is with us, and we will continue chatting with Dean about showbiz stuff coming up right after we take this break on 720 WGN.
You can travel Chicago. You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards. Entertainment editor, Channel 9 and 720. Oh, 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 oh.
Yeah.
Top man, pro and steady.
I'm just, because he's always ready. Yeah, I always picture, whenever I hear this, I always picture DeCoste wearing what Katy Perry wears.
The firecracker bra.
Yeah. Right.
Now I got to unthink that image.
Fight. No, yeah, it's
more of
thanks.
A, it's more of a sparkler bra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In his case. Nick DiGilio in for Steve Cochran. Dean Richards is with us. Dean, you ever pictured DeCoste dancing around like that?
I do not picture John DeCoste.
Well, you're welcome for that.
but I am going to stick some needles in my eyes right now as a result of that.
I have to ask you this story. I'm looking at one of the headlines here. First of all, I want to, you know, obviously, Gary Shandling's death last week was devastating.
Devastating.
One of my comedy heroes, one of the most innovative people that has ever done television. Both of his shows, Gary Shandling's show, and especially the Larry Sanders Show.
Groundbreaking.
Two of the greatest shows in the history of television.
Yep.
He was unbelievably funny. He was brilliant, and we lost him last week. I paid a tribute to him. It's podcast on my on our page to him. But the loss in the world of comedy is immeasurable. What is this story about his doctor refusing to sign his death certificate?
His doctor is saying that he hasn't seen him in a year. He was in perfectly good health and hasn't examined the remains of Gary Shandling yet. And is not going to sign it based on a lot of the hearsay that's been going on, that it was a massive heart attack. I mean, it sure seems like it was.
Yeah.
But the doctor is saying, you know, he hasn't seen him for a while, but he thinks that there needs to be a much more thorough autopsy before any death certificates are,
really?
Are signed.
Now, is he thinking foul play?
He hasn't said that, but I don't know. I don't know why else you would, you know, be cautious and wait. You know, accuracy, I guess, obviously is, you know, part of that, but it certainly casts, you know, a shadow of suspicion over this if the doctor is hesitant to sign the death certificate.
Yeah.
For that, one would presume that there must have been, you know, the LA County coroner is investigating this, so I guess the doctor is saying that he's not going to sign off on it until he's seen quite a bit more on why his patient died.
Interesting. Really interesting.
And it's unfortunate that it's going to cast, you know, something, you know, sort of this dark shadow over something which is dark and depressing enough. I was really sad for several days over this.
Oh, me too.
Every time I would run into a story, it's like, I guess kind of the way I felt when I saw George Carlin on The Tonight Show.
Yeah.
It's like, What a damn waste this is.
And then Friday night, I love that Antenna TV called an audible. And on Friday night, they showed the episode of Gary Shandling's very first appearance on The Tonight Show.
And didn't he
kill? He killed. He totally killed.
It was amazing. Yes. I hadn't seen that. I can't even remember the last time. But I watched it also. And I just thought, first time on The Tonight Show, you have to be nervous beyond... You know what it is. Johnny's sitting there. He's watching the whole thing. And Johnny's, you could hear him laughing off to the side, how much Johnny enjoyed it. But it was really funny. And he seemed so calm and, you know, sort of like he didn't really care whether it went well or not. Yeah, it was great. That's one
tremendous.
Of the joys of having this vast library available to us.
I'm telling you, Dean, it's the daily highlight for me. I'm telling you, I get home at 6 o'clock. I can't wait to turn on Johnny Carson. It's ridiculous. All right, Don Cheadle was in over the weekend. Now, have you seen the Miles Davis movie?
I have. It's called Miles Ahead.
I cannot wait to see this.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. His characterization of Miles Davis is spot on. It's not a true biopic. It's not things which happen sequentially in his life. It's there are moments.
And he directed it, right?
And he directed it. Yeah. So he's directed some TV before Don Cheadle, but this is his first feature film. And I think he does a pretty good job overall with it, from bits and pieces of kind of an imagined story to tell an interesting story of how crazy Miles Davis was and how flawed he was and how completely dysfunctional, how chemically dependent that he was on booze and alcohol and lots of things. I mean, it's you know, in many ways a very sad story and a wasted life of somebody so amazingly talented. But Cheadle learned, it was musical, not overly musical, but he had to learn to play trumpet. He wanted to learn to play trumpet so he could, he said he could play the role a little better. He did, and when he went to promote the show, the movie on The Tonight Show last week, Jimmy Fallon, he asked to sit in with The Roots And and he did, and he talked about that with me. But also, I've never really talked to anybody who's been on, you know, on Fallon. I was so curious, you know, when they play all those stupid games that they play. I mean, people like them. I think they're a waste of time. I'd rather hear an interview than watch people play Pictionary and all the things that they do on Fallon Show. But I wondered if they made people do that, if they forced them to do that. So those are a couple of the things that I talked to Don Cheadle about.
All right, here we go.
I actually asked to sit in with them, and I wanted to play with them. And then you're there, and I'm like, why did I ask to do this again? It's like when I play in these, you know, golf pro-ams, and they're like, and on the first tee, from here, like, why did I want this pressure?
Why am I doing this? When, you know, actors go on The Tonight Show, and they have to play these games with Jimmy Fallon, do they say, well, we want you, but you got to play this game?
No, they don't say you got to ever anything. They say, would you like to? You know, and I love Jimmy, and we always have fun, and it's like, yeah, I'll do whatever Jimmy wants. Like the first time I met Jimmy, we were at a party after a Saturday Night Live performance, and I'd never met him before. And so I see him across the room, and I kind of give him a head nod, and he starts walking over to me, and he starts taking off his shirt, and I was like, whoa, whoa, and he said, oh, I totally misinterpreted that look. I'm sorry. So he's out of his mind.
Don Cheadle's pretty good guy.
That's pretty funny, man.
Yeah, really.
When does it open?
Chicago, it'll open on April the 8th. We've got I just got some information. This is just like hot off the press here.
Yeah.
You know, I talk about what's going on out at the Paramount Theater in Aurora all the time. They do such a good job there. They just announced their new Broadway season for 2016-17 a few minutes ago. It's going to kick off with Mamma Mia, the ABBA musical. Little Mermaid's going to follow that. Sweeney Todd, the demon barber of Fleet Street. That's going to be interesting to see. And then Jesus Christ Superstar for about a year from now, April 19th through 28th, 2017. An all-African-American cast on this, which is a really interesting take on Jesus Christ Superstar. So the ParamountAurora.com if you want to get more info, get tickets, et cetera.
Breaking news right here on the
Breaking
Steve Cochran
Entertainment
Show.
Entertainment news.
That's
Stop
exactly
the presses.
Right. Stop the presses. Dean, always a pleasure, my friend.
Talk to you tomorrow, Nick.
Okay, you got it.
Bye.
Dean Richards, he's great.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
Nick DiGilio here, filling in for Steve Cochran on a Monday morning. I'll be here tomorrow as well. Steve is on a covert mission, working undercover, from what I understand. But he'll be back on Wednesday. This is the 8 o'clock hour. It's sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks. And as we just mentioned, the Supreme Court will not hear Blagojevich's appeal on his conviction in his 14-year prison.
Now, here you were asking how many. It was very slim because they hear about 80 cases a year, and they get about 10,000 requests. So on Friday, they said they have kind of a conference call or a meeting on Friday. And then on Friday, they said, yes, we will announce Monday if we are, in fact, going to hear the case. It didn't look good. For a court to hear, for the high court to hear a case, it's as though they have to say, yep, you know, the judges below us erred. You know, there were so many errors. His claim was there were so many errors in the trial. During the trial, and then it was shot down on appeal, and then of course that went to the Illinois Supreme Court too, and they would have had to really have gone against many judges at that point. The Seventh Circuit has three judges, then of course there's the trial judge. So it's rare that they say, yeah, you know what? Not only did the trial were there errors with the trial judge, but then the appeals court was wrong. The Seventh Circuit was wrong as well. So it was just very slim that they would even.
It was very slim.
Yeah.
So, but they did make the official announcement they will not be hearing it.
They will not be hearing the case.
The Supreme Court has decided not to hear it. You know, I got to tell you, I was living in Albany Park, about a half a mile away from Blagojevich in 2008, and I have never heard more helicopters and insanity in a neighborhood that I lived in during that time period when he was going through what he was going through.
Yeah, and then they followed him too. Remember, followed him to prison.
He used to run, followed by cars and stuff like that through our neighborhood.
Yeah,
like we would see him, you know, like just run past our building.
Yeah,
and it But when all the madness happened, it was seriously, it was like we were stationed in Nam or something. Yeah. It was insane.
It was insane. There were helicopters everywhere. Now, the appeals court last year, this is what was somewhat interesting. They threw out 5 of his 18 convictions, which is quite a few.
Yeah.
You'd expect them to throw out 1 or 2. But 5 of 18 was pretty good. I was a little surprised they did that. He was hoping the Supreme Court would throw out the rest. I mean, the chances of them throwing out the rest of those, again, just was very slim.
And what was the his hope was to actually just, like, drop the 14-year prison sentence?
Yeah, or give him time served. Give him time served, yeah, for his crime. Or maybe even say, you know what, you only have to serve 10 of the 14 years, because right now he has to serve 3/4 of that.
Right. Well, I always thought, as guilty as Blagojevich was, I always thought that 14 years was a little stiff.
I thought the same thing.
I mean, I remember it was like, well, they really want to make an example of this guy.
I felt the same way. I thought, you know, he shouldn't have done what he did. He was guilty. Clearly, the jury found him guilty. I thought 14 years was a little harsh as well.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Steve disagrees. Steve Cochran.
Really?
He says, absolutely, 14 years is perfect. Is plenty.
Wow.
Maybe even more. I don't know. I don't want to speak for him.
Wow.
But I just thought it was harsh.
I did too. I mean, you know, the guy belonged in jail. There's no question about it. He was guilty. But when I heard 14, I remember when I heard they sentenced him to 14 years. What?
Yeah.
That just seemed, it seemed pretty harsh. I think 12 of those years were because of his hair.
I don't know.
That would be my guess.
How about last year? Was it last year or the year before when the photo leaked out? The photo leaked of his white. His hair is all white now.
Yeah, because he can't get his, you know, he can't get his hair coloring while he's in prison.
Yeah, can't get hair dye.
There's no good barbers in the
prison. Right.
So, all right. Well, anyway, the latest is that the Supreme Court will not hear Blagojevich's appeal. That's done. Now, can he file again?
He can try. I think he can try again. I don't think anything's, you know, there's really, unless he tries to go to the United States Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Which he might.
He might, knowing him.
Knowing him.
Yeah, he might. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's the latest. The Supreme Court, no. To Blago.
No.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
720 WGN.
Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio in for Steve Cochran. Off today, and he's off tomorrow, so I'm filling in. You can regularly hear me 2 to 5 a.m. on weekday mornings, and I want to thank Dane Neal, who will be filling in for me tomorrow morning and filled in for me this morning. The 8 o'clock hour is sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks, and I threw out a text question a little bit earlier concerning social media and how often you guys use it. I have a friend, as I said before, I have a friend who completely gave up on it. He cut himself loose from social media, all of it. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all of it gone. He got rid of his smartphone. He went back to a flip phone, and he says his life has improved because of that. So I would love to hear from you guys. That's the text question. Have you stopped your social media? Have you cut down on it, or have you never had social media? And how has your life changed when you cut social media out? 312-981-7200. We got a few more texts here. 847 area code says, I gave up Facebook for a year. Family is scattered across the country, and I miss staying in touch, but I love politics. I can't discuss this with family because some of us vehemently disagree with each other, so I created a Twitter account specifically for political discussion. Now, we were talking about this a little bit off the air, about politics on our Facebook pages and politics in, on our Twitter feeds, and some of it just gets completely out of hand.
I think we said it on the air,
yeah,
because right now there's just so much ugliness on your timeline showing up in your news feed. It's like there's enough of it out there.
Already.
You don't need to see more of it.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't even mind if, you know, somebody says, okay, I'm for Trump, I'm for Hillary, I'm for Bernie. I don't mind that at all, but when they start getting vile...
Yeah, that's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the really ugly stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the things we were talking about a little bit earlier is how people can easily do a lot of this stuff because you can be anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
You can say whatever you want to say.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I just don't listen to that. I
think they're called trolls.
Yes, yes. 847 area code says, I'm a 64-year-old female... not on any social media, and I never have been. I know my personal info is safer without it. That's a good point, too. That's a real good point. And I definitely do not feel like I'm missing out on anything. I have more important obligations in my life than feeling like I have to constantly check social media, and I don't think it's because of my age. I guess my social activity is still going on, and I work every day, and I listen to WGN. Well, there you go. That's all you need. 224 Erico says, I'm 30 years old, and I never use social media. Wow.
Hmm.
It says, I feel great. I live my life in 4D, not 2D. Now I wish my wife doesn't have it. So he's 30 years old, and he doesn't use social media.
No kidding.
I don't know anybody under 50 who doesn't use social media.
You definitely see the differences between Facebook, I would say, is maybe 30-plus, and Twitter more...
Younger,
yeah, under 30.
Which explains why I don't use Twitter nearly as much as I use Facebook.
I'm the same way.
219 area code says, I rarely use it only to look at pictures of my friends who shame me into logging on. I even use an alias so people won't try to friend me. Okay. 815 area code says, I never use social media. I don't need to know every unimportant detail in people's lives, and important ones merit one-on-one conversation anyway.
See, I think it's kind of cool to catch up or to keep, you know, friends of mine from high school, if I don't see them often, I'll go on and see pictures of their kids. Yeah. But I like it for that. I know a lot of people that bothers them or that bugs them.
Doesn't bother me. I mean, I have a lot of friends, you know, who are on Facebook. I have ex-wives who are on Facebook as well. You know, it's fine with me.
You give them the emoji happy?
No, I don't.
Okay. Is there a Facebook group of Dick's ex-wives?
Of ex-wives and ex-girlfriends? Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's an entire wing on Facebook with ex-wives and ex-girlfriends of
Vic DiGiulio. When's the reunion?
Wait, reunion for what?
The ex-wives club.
Well, we're going to have to rent out the UC for that. area code. God, you make me sound like I'm Elizabeth Taylor.
No, that's good, though.
It's like Zsa Gabor.
You have a harem.
Breaking the record here. I've only been married twice. When I first tried Facebook, I added friends and family and ended up with all of their friends and their family who I never even knew, telling me all kinds of personal stuff that I thought was bad. I do have Facebook, but only for your show. Thank you. This is interesting. I have Facebook for this. These are the reasons. I have Facebook for your show, Tim McGraw, Cardinals, Packers, Blackhawks, and the Cubs.
What?
Cardinals and the Cubs?
Really?
Maybe to troll the Cubs?
Maybe.
Oh. Yeah.
But if we got a Packers fan and a Cardinals fan here.
And a Blackhawks fan?
Oh.
And a Cubs fan. And the big one here, the tipper, is Tim McGraw.
Right.
There you go. I love the category you're lumped in.
I'm right in there with Tim McGraw, the Cardinals, the Packers, the Blackhawks, and the Cubs thing is weird to me.
Yeah.
Cardinals and Cubs? You can't do that.
Maybe they're just a sports fan.
You can't be a Cardinals fan and a Cubs fan at the same time.
Didn't say they were a fan of both.
Well, that's true.
I bet they do go to troll, like you said.
Yeah. They're trolling the Cubs.
One of them.
One of them. No, she'd be trolling the Cubs, this person, or this man would be trolling the Cubs because they're a Packers fan.
Yeah, but they're a Blackhawks fan.
Yeah, it's true. I'm confused. I'm completely confused. My mind has been blown. Completely. My mind has been completely blown. I don't know, where does Tim McGraw fit into all this? Is he a Cardinals fan, Tim McGraw?
I'm going to look this up.
Look up Tim McGraw. Find out if he... Use your social media.
I'm going to Wikipedia.
To find out if Tim McGraw is a Cardinals fan. And this is a 224 area code. It says, deleting my Facebook account was like taking myself out of the Matrix. By doing so, it has reminded me of the true value of talking to people face-to-face. I didn't realize how much I missed it until I started doing that again. You know what I've noticed about some of the things about social media that make me kind of crazy? Are people who go to concerts or go to shows and just hold the phone up and just video the thing. And Louis C.K.'s got a great bit about this where it's like a kid, you know, like someone goes to their kid's recital and they're and all you see are phones, like, mm-hmm. you know, and then he says, and this is absolutely true, it's like, look, you know, it's really happening like right in front of you. You don't have to look through a really crappy little screen to see what's happening. And by the way, if you share that video, no one's gonna watch it. No one cares. No one cares. And that's always like, you know, there's like a live musician in front of you. you know, and you're looking through your phone. You're taping this, you're videoing this for your phone and looking through your little screen when there's a guy in front of you, there's a musician in front of you live in the same room with you that you could be watching and experiencing, and not so much, oh, it's really important that I get this out on Twitter and show everybody that I'm at a U2 show.
Do you remember back in the day when we went to concerts, we couldn't bring cameras in. So if you wanted to bring your camera, you just smuggle it in.
Yeah. Well, now, I mean, you have no control over that.
Right. Now, you're right. It's a sea of phones.
It's funny. When my friend Mike and I went to go see the crappy Batman movie on Friday, they played beforehand, they do all the commercials and stuff, mm-hmm. before they show the trailers, and they showed a commercial for a new Nikon camera. And we both just kind of looked at each other and said, I'm wondering how much, this would be an interesting thing to talk about biz-wise, how much the camera corporations have taken a hit over the past few years.
That's a great question.
Like, you know, like, yeah. Because, I mean, it's all on, and you've got great cameras on cell phones.
Well, and they
like,
don't have camera stores anymore. Remember, yeah. They used to have a bunch of camera stores?
Absolutely.
Yeah, like Wolf's camera.
They don't have them really, anymore. They really must up. Be hurting. Honestly. Yeah. Seriously.
I used to bring a camera on every trip I would take. Now I just use my
just
phone.
Just use the phone.
Yeah, and then you can upload everything.
And it's not, I mean, these phones, the cameras on these phones, I've got like the Galaxy S6 thing. Mm-hmm. The camera on this thing is unbelievable.
It's great.
So I'm currently concerned about the world of camera of the you know, Nikon and all these other cameras.
Polaroid. Look what happened
Polaroid.
To them.
Yeah. Camera stores are still around, but you know, one of the things they've gone to is converting your photographs and your slides to digitizing them.
Yeah. Because there's a business there. For sure.
It's a new business.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
And I've talked to people that do that as well, and now they sell converters. You can get converters cheap at Amazon, and so people are doing it themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot of work.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is a lot
we did
of work.
A piece on that on HowSmarts, just in case you guys want to see the link.
When's that going to air?
It's HowSmartsTV.com.
HowSmartsTV.com.
Mm-hmm. Go there and see That's it.
Right. Yeah. Yes, you can. I'll post it on my Facebook.
I use my phone to watch it.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
Good morning, everybody. How you doing? This is the Steve Cochran Show, but I'm Nick DiGilio, filling in for Steve Cochran today and tomorrow. And now, normally on my Monday morning show, I'm on weekday mornings, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m., right before the opening bell with Steve Gersanish. Mm-hmm. I do movie reviews, the Monday morning movie reviews, with my colleagues Colin Suter and Eric Childress. On Eric Childress, who writes for efilmcritic.com, RogerEbert.com, also writes a column every week, really analyzing the box office of each week. And it was a big, big, big holiday weekend for movies. One movie in particular that made $170.1 million, and it's Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice, which is a movie that I hated. And Eric, we always talk a little bit about box office, and I wanted to squeeze him in here on the morning show to get his thoughts on what happened over the weekend. Eric, welcome back, sure.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, give everybody a little background because this is a different, you know, this is a different crowd listening this morning. A lot of, you know, you're usually on with me at like 2-3 in the morning, so let everybody know what your background is and how long you've been, been a part of my show. It's been a long time.
Oh, well, I've been doing your show since 1999.
Oh, man.
In some capacity, all different incarnations of your show.
Yeah.
Which has been really awesome. But yeah, we're right for efilmcritic.com. I do some pieces during the year for RogerEbert.com on occasion. The box office report that you're referring to, I write for movies.com, which is part of Fandango. I do that every Sunday, and number of other things I do.
Well, yeah,
Business First AM.
Business First AM you do as well on mm-hmm. TV. You are also, you're the vice president of the Chicago Film Critics Association, right?
Executive secretary.
Executive secretary. Okay.
Yes.
I can't keep up with that stuff anymore.
Neither can I.
And you guys actually, our group, as I'm part of it, is the Chicago Critics are having a film festival in May. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about that? Because that's going to be a huge event.
Yeah. Well, this is the fourth year that we put this thing together, the Chicago Critics Film Festival, which is a festival. It's basically sort of a greatest hits festival from all the other festivals, all the other big festivals out there. So if you can't get to Sundance or Cannes or Berlin or South by Southwest, we bring a lot of our favorite movies to Chicago for the premiere, and we hold it at the Music Box Theater. Again, this is our third year at the Music Box Theater, and for an entire week, we show films in the big auditorium. There's no, we don't play films against one another, so you can technically see every film on the roster, this greatest hits package that we've cobbled together for the movie viewers of Chicago. And we bring in special guests, we have discussions and Q&As after many of the screenings. And it's really, you know, if you hear about these film festivals that we talk about on your show all the time, and a number of these movies that I talk about, we're going to have them for this film festival on May 20th to the 26th.
Right, May 20th through the 26th at the Music Box. And festival passes are available, right?
Yes, they're available right now. We will be announcing the full lineup over 25 movies sometime in late April. And at that time, the full schedule and individual tickets will go on sale as well. And we'll also announce many more of our special guests.
Okay. And give the website where people can get their passes.
ChicagoCriticsFilmFestival.com.
ChicagoCriticsFilmFestival.com. The full pass is $150, but that means that you can see as many movies as you want. You have access to all of the events, all of the Q&As, all of the celebrity appearances, everything, mm-hmm. just for $150.
Yeah, and the celebrities here, I mean, with film festivals, you go and you get to see the celebrities on stage and whatnot. We have a lot of the people that come to our fest will interact with people. They'll hang out after the screenings. We've had a lot of really, fantastic guests that will just, hang and talk and, sign stuff and all kinds of stuff. So it's really a sort of a community event, and we try to make the most of this because a lot of these movies might show up only in limited release in Chicago or maybe not even at all. So this is your opportunity to see a lot of these really great movies that fly under the radar.
That's right, and it's at the beautiful Music Box Theater. So, yep. All right, that's May 20th through the 26th. We will keep you updated on my show as well with all that stuff. Okay, yep. The box office this weekend, before we get to the actual list, I don't think you hated Batman vs. Superman as much as I did because I think it's one of the worst movies. I think it's absolutely one of the worst movies of the year.
Well, you didn't see Ride Along 2. So,
no, I didn't. No,
yeah,
I didn't.
So I certainly have a much worse film on my list and probably even a few more, but I don't like it. And my experience watching it was like for like the first hour and a half of the movie before you actually get to the fighting where they're trying to Nolan the hell out of this thing. They're yeah. they're trying to give a lot of speeches and trying to really break down why these two iconic characters are going to be fighting. And I was just kind of giving the film the benefit of the doubt because I'm like, maybe they're going to transform this into something real. They're going to pay it off in the final hour. And then you get to that final hour and it's kind of a garbage fire.
Yeah.
It kind of undoes any potential hope you had that anything was going to pay off in this thing. The actual fight lasts about 6 to 8 minutes tops.
Yeah. Yeah. The fight between Batman and Superman is just like, it's like secondary.
Yeah, I think
it really
it's shorter
is.
Than the
yeah.
fight in They Live.
It is.
Actually. Which is a much better fight and has much clearer motivations and yeah. characters you actually root for.
Okay, listen, hang on, Eric.
Yeah.
All right, well, we've talked about the quality of the movie, which is low. But when we come back, we'll talk about the money that it made and what's going on at the box office in general as part of Eric's weekly report on the box office. So we'll take a quick break and we'll come back with more after this.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN.
All right. Morning, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Nick DiGilio in for Steve Cochran. And coming up after the 9:30 news, Steve Dale is going to join us live in studio. We've got a bunch of stuff to talk about with Steve, and that's coming up after the 9:30 news. But right now, we'll get back to my conversation with my friend Eric Childress, who is a movie critic, and he appears on my show on a regular basis, on my regular overnight show. And he does a box office analysis every week, and we're going to jump right into the box office over the weekend. Okay, so the Batman versus Superman movie, $170 million. That was expected, yes?
Yeah, I mean, it did precisely what it was expected to do.
Mm. And now everybody's making a big deal out of it because, the fanboys are mad at the critics because, for the most part, it got really terrible reviews.
Yep.
And they're sort of, are they saying, ha-ha, they're laughing at the critics, correct, the fanboys?
Yeah, this is that, that really cheap bit of vindication that they think they have. As one of our colleagues pointed out last night, when Captain America Civil War comes out and makes even more money, and the critics probably like it a lot more, they're not going to say a word about the critics.
Yeah.
You know, all the rage on Twitter and social media this week, literally the rage, was that critics were being bought off by Marvel to give bad reviews to DC movies.
Yeah, come on.
I mean, that's how stupid the fanboys have gotten about this thing. And, yeah, okay, great. So it made $170 million. All you people went out to see the movie, and that's what it was supposed to do. If it did anything less, you know, it beat Deadpool. Mm-hmm. You know, if it didn't beat Deadpool, then there would have been a lot of panic. But it handily beat Deadpool, and it's now the sixth highest grossing opening weekend of all time, the highest grossing opening weekend that Warner Brothers has ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Actually,
wow.
beating the Dark Knight films.
Wow.
They actually did a really interesting trick on Thursday to kickstart the box office conversation, in that all the headlines on Friday were like, well, it made $27.7 million on Thursday night previews, and that's more than Age of Ultron made, which of course went on to make $1 billion.
Right.
But they actually put the sneak previews on Thursday at 6 p.m. rather than 7 p.m.
Right.
So you're able to squeeze in a lot of extra shows across the country, and it still beat Ultron by only $100,000.
That's true. No, that's interesting that you bring that. I noticed that. I noticed it was 6 o'clock, and I thought it was 6 o'clock, obviously because of the length of the movie.
Yeah.
But Ultron was over 2 hours, and Ultron was 2 hours and 20 minutes, wasn't it?
Well, about the same length.
Yeah.
Very close.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, let's go to number two. One of the biggest successes of the year, Zootopia, $23.1 million, bringing its total up to almost $241 million. A terrific movie, and still, I mean, really, you know, after how many, it's been 4 weeks now?
I think this is the fourth week, yes.
Fourth week, and it's still doing really good numbers. When I went to the theater to see the Batman movie, there were still tons of kids running around going to Zootopia.
Yeah, monster business. It's done almost $700 million worldwide.
Wow.
Already. So it's going to flirt with a billion, actually. And it's actually now behind Frozen, the second highest grossing film for an original Disney production,
right.
Not counting Pixar.
Not counting Pixar, yeah.
Yeah, so that's impressive, incredibly impressive.
It's also a really good movie.
Yes.
It's very, very funny and really well done. Now, this one, Andrea's a little bit interested in what's going on here. Coming in at number three is My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2, which mm-hmm. made $18 million. Now, the thing about this was, is that about $18 million, is that what was expected?
That's about what I expected.
Yeah.
High,
were people
high
thinking they were going to be? It was going to make more? Were a lot of people thinking it was going to make more?
I don't think so. I don't think anyone was sort of putting it higher than 20. At least I hope not.
It was it's the thing about the first movie was it was that as I was talking to you guys about it last week.
Yeah.
It was the little movie that could. No one expected it. It came out of nowhere, didn't cost any money, and it was one of those movies, Eric, that didn't kill at the box office immediately, but in fact had legs. I mean, it was out for a really long time.
Yeah.
It took 11 weeks for the first one to do what the sequel did just this weekend.
Wow.
You know, so consider that. And it's one of the I think it might be the last film that's been released that actually played in the theater almost for an entire year.
Yeah, that thing was in the theater forever.
How cool is that?
It opened in April, and then it played throughout. It really became over the summer that when it sort of got its way into the summer season, and it was just that movie that was out there as counter programming, and it just made a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. It never reached number one at the box office, and yet made over $241 million.
That's
really
amazing.
It never went to number one. Huh?
Never went. It got to number two in August. That's the highest.
Yeah. Now, what year
got.
Was it? 2001.
2002.
Yeah.
Okay,
so it came out in 2002.
And at the time, right, it was the highest grossing independent comedy of all time?
I think independent, period.
Yeah. I mean, indie film. Okay,
I can't
great.
Think of another independent film that
up until that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when Halloween held that record. It held it for 10 years. You remember what movie broke it?
87
it would be.
87.
Yeah.
No.
Dirty Dancing.
I was going to say Top
Dirty
Gun.
Dancing,
well,
right.
Top Gun's not independent. That's as far from independent as you can get. It's a Tom Cruise Paramount movie directed by Tony Scott. All right, so what do you, before we let you go here, what do you predict is going to happen? Do you think Batman versus Superman is going to drop like a rock?
Yeah, I do actually. And there's one thing you can actually point at with that, and that is the CinemaScore. Now, CinemaScore is a silly thing. It's a survey thing. It's about as reliable as political polls in far as just you know getting the numbers for an entire country.
Yeah.
But they are kind of surprisingly accurate in how when you sort of judge the numbers moving forward past an opening weekend. And Batman vs Superman only got a B. Now, a B CinemaScore is like a C, C minus anywhere else.
Okay.
Pretty much. I mean, Miss Congeniality 2 got a B rating. Okay. Green Lantern got a B. And most of the Marvel movies get A minuses and above.
Right.
Okay. Even B pluses. So I think that this thing, the average drop of the movies, the top movies of all time, is like 55%. I think you're going to see this thing drop somewhere in the mid to high 60s.
Wow.
Next week.
Okay.
And the thing that it has in its advantage is that there's pretty much nothing opening for the next few weeks.
Right.
So just out of there's nothing else to see, and if people want to go see a movie and they're curious and they want to see just if it's as bad as people say it is, because word of mouth is not good on this movie.
Well, it's because it's terrible.
the CinemaScore, you get your core audience polled in that, and if they're only giving it a B, that's not
good.
A good sign.
Okay, so it's going to be a big drop. All right, Eric, thanks, man, and we'll talk to you next week at the regular time on Monday morning at around 2 a.m.
Absolutely.
All right, Eric, thanks a lot. Eric Childress checking out the box office. We got a break here, and we got the news, and then after the news, Steve Dale will be here on WGN.
Who let the dogs out?
Hoot, 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 hoot.
Who let the dogs out?
Hoot, 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 hoot.
Who let the dogs out?
Hoot, 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 hoot.
Who let the dogs out?
Yeah.
When the party was nice, the party was pumping.
It's Nick DiGilio in for Steve.
See, there
for Steve Cochran.
There he goes, Nick.
Who let the dogs out? Well, Steve Dale did, because he brought in a lovely little basset hound. And, of course, Dave's on the ground rolling around with it.
Dave is
yes,
on his
this
knees.
Is, yes, this is,
no.
This is what happens. This means the dog will be adopted out. When Dave gets down on the ground with a dog, and in this case,
how many times have we said that? Dave gets down on the ground with a dog.
And the dog rolls over on its tummy and says, pet me more.
He's giving her a belly rub right now.
Yes. I would be happy. I'm not so sure.
This is Steve Dale, by the way.
With Heather Owen from One Tail at a Time.
Hi, Heather. How are you? Welcome to the show. Wait a second. There you go. Hi, Heather.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, tell me about One Tail at a Time.
Sure. We're a rescue group that we've been around for about 8 years, and we opened up an adoption center in Bucktown last year. So we bring in dogs that are in need of homes and find them adoptive families.
And how long have you been there?
I've been there the whole time, so I'm a co-founder.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
And how many dogs do you normally, how many are adopted? Do you have a good success rate?
Yeah, we have a great success rate. We're hoping to do 400 adoptions this year.
Wow.
That's
now,
a lot.
Yeah. Now, where do you get the dogs from?
They come from a variety of places. We go to Chicago Animal Care and Control, the surrounding animal controls, and then we also work with some southern shelters.
Okay. Steve, tell us about the dog you brought in.
Speaking of which, that's the case for this dog. From where?
Lucy's from Alabama.
Yeah, about a five-year-old dog, a basset hound that is probably poorly bred. So I thought originally a basset hound beagle mix. It doesn't really much matter. It might be that. It might just be a basset hound that wasn't bred so well. This dog is so incredibly friendly. The problem was getting the dog into the building because the dog wanted to stop and say hello to everybody.
Yeah, really friendly dog.
Yeah. And then we get the dog in and the dog makes itself at home, himself at home, herself at home, Lucy, in a window in the green room, jumps up on the window ledge and just looks at all the people going by back and forth. And the tail's wagging back and forth all the time, too. So a really sweet dog. So think in your mind a basset hound and just a little smaller. Mm-hmm. I'd say about 15% smaller, 15% less bulky, which can be a good thing. Great apartment dog. I don't know how vocal this dog is compared to your typical basset hound or not.
She barks a little bit, and we have her basset
none of that.
Howl a bit, but not as much as some other bassets.
Yeah, so. And so soft. I mean,
beautiful.
Petting this dog, really soft.
So how can people, if they want to adopt a Lucy, how do they do that?
They can go to our website. It's onetail.org, and we have an adoption application on there. And then when we're open Thursday through Sunday at our adoption center. You can come in and meet her.
Okay. And now you get a lot of basset hounds?
We don't. We see, a lot of hound mixes in general if they're coming from the south, but not a lot of purebred bassets.
Mm. I had a beagle. long time ago.
Kind of like this?
Yeah, kind of like that. And I thought of it. But the beagle that we had was prone to back problems. Mm. Was that something that was you find in beagles?
Sometimes, but not necessarily. Yeah. No, it was just your poor beagle, you know. Basset hounds, maybe, and dachshunds.
At some point, she couldn't jump up onto the bed anymore. Yeah. So we would have to, like,
she just found the food container in the trash.
It was pancakes.
So that's the thing about basset hounds. Their nose is their life.
Yeah.
And their nose is glued to the ground. But this one, not as much in that. This dog, Lucy, loves other people so much, she'll pick her nose up off the ground and walk to the
people. I noticed that about this dog.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like I said, I had a beagle, and that was nose to the ground all the time.
Exactly.
And it was never less than a 20-minute walk. Never. Because it would take forever to find a spot.
Yeah.
But this is a beautiful dog, 5 years old. Now, do you have an age limit on the dogs that you get to adopt, that you guys want to adopt?
In terms of the dogs, how old they are? No, we take in a lot of senior dogs. So if they're at the end of their life and they need somewhere to go, either as like a hospice foster or something like that, we take a lot of those in. But a lot of, like, you know, 10 to 12, even upwards like 13, 14, those dogs have a couple good years left in them. So if they need a home, we'll take them in.
Go ahead, Nick.
By the way, they've been taking pictures and video and stuff like that of the dog, and we're posting it up on the pages, on the websites, on the Facebook page, on Steve's page, and all that stuff. So if you want to see what Lucy looks like, I would say she's adorable.
This
she's
is such a soft coat and such a friendly puppy.
Oh, she's so friendly.
Oh.
Yeah, or go to WGNradio.com and you can see television, right? I mean, you can see the video of all of us in the studio, which I apologize for, but also this beautiful, beautiful dog who I do not apologize for.
Right. So that's at WGNradio.com on the live stream right now. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more with Steve Dale and Heather from One Tail at a Time. And all that is coming up more right here on 720 WGN.
How much is that doggy in the window?
No, don't do that.
The waggly tail.
Don't buy from pet stores. No.
How much is that doggy in the window?
Don't put a dog in a window.
No, he means the showcase window.
There, see, because the dog is in the window.
Showcase studio. Yes.
All right. It's Nick DiGilio in for Steve Cochran. Steve Dale is here.
With Heather Owen of One Tail at a Time.
One Tail at a Time. And Lucy.
Most importantly.
Yeah. And if you want Lucy, and if you want to see Lucy, you can check out WGNradio.com right now on live stream. It's a beautiful 5-year-old basset hound that is available for adoption, and we would love you to check it out.
And we want you to bat 1,000, you know. So our record with Steve Cochran is really good at adopting out these dogs.
Now, you're going to make me feel guilty, right?
Would I do that? We want this dog adopted out. And how can people do that, Heather?
They can go to our website, onetail.org, and they can fill out an application. You can see our profile on there, or you can come to our adoption center. We're open Thursday through Sunday. We're in Bucktown, and you can come meet Lucy.
Great. Yep. And Lucy's a beautiful dog, just a wonderful dog. Steve, we were talking a little bit off the air about the dog poop thing, $500. I talked about this on my show. Well, there was a little sound from
it's like,
Lucy.
Why am I being picked up?
Lucy.
I want to look out the window.
You should put some headphones on her and see how that works.
That'd be a great photo.
Yeah, it would. So anyway, I was talking about it on my show very quickly. A lot of people who are not old enough to remember back in the 70s and in the 80s, nobody cleaned up after their dogs. Nobody did. And it was like, I'm not kidding. It was, you know, you guys have been around.
Oh, it's true.
It was like, it was, you know, remember on sitcoms and on TV shows and stuff, there would be funny jokes like, oh, I stepped in dog poo. That joke doesn't exist anymore.
No.
But I'm telling you, in the 70s, it was like an obstacle course walking down the sidewalk.
Yes.
But now they came up with the idea to fine dog owners $500 if they don't clean up after their dog. And you said that this was in an effort to curb the rat problem.
Exactly. And it won't do a thing to curb the rat problem. So first of all, it's already a law, and a good one, that you need to pick up in public places. I'm all for that. I'm all for people picking up in their own backyards. This will not impact the rat problem one bit, is the reality. First, we don't even know that rats eat much dog poop. They probably don't. And in fact, we know they don't. We know that it's way low on their scale. Do you know they'd rather eat their own poop? They do.
I hope you're enjoying your oatmeal this morning, everybody.
That's one thing. But if we're going to ban this and we're going to fine people, and by the way, is it the dog poop left in the backyard for 5 minutes, for 5 hours, for 5 days? What's the cutoff time? I mean, this is a poorly written ordinance.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Are they banning it if it's in your yard?
Yes.
Well? Seriously, in your own yard?
Yes.
Wow.
Exactly.
Know that.
That's exactly the point. I mean, you know, so, I mean, do police, Chicago police officers need to be poop police? I mean, you know, really, it's not going to be enforced. But all of that aside, then we ought to, by the same way of thinking, we ought to cut out what rats really like the berries from trees. So they love them. We know that. Dog poop, they don't like that much. Berries from trees they love. So we ought to ban all the trees. We ought to cut them down, all the trees that have berries. We ought
By
to,
that logic.
Right. Yeah. We ought to stop people from feeding the birds because they love bird seed. We know that. Sometimes they love the birds too, pigeons if they can get them, you know. Mm-hmm. There are lots of things, mostly trash and garbage, that rats really love to devour. So we create a smorgasbord for them when we put out the recycles next to our garbage can, as many people in the city do, because there's no more room in the trash can, or they don't bother. And rats love that stuff. That's one reason why you see so many rats in the alley. Mm-hmm. It's all the garbage that's in the alley. So let's do something about that. If you are really serious about doing something about the rat problem, I know experts that can help. The dog poop thing, yes, I want people to pick up for a whole long list of reasons, ought to pick up after their dogs, even in their own backyards. But it's not enforceable, and it won't do anything, anything, anything to impact the rat problem is the reality.
Now, you were discussing with Dave a possibility of a way to help with the rat problem involving feral cats.
I saw a story about this last week, Steve, and I think actually DNA Info had the story.
Right, that they quoted me in the story.
Right, yeah, right, yeah. Right, about feral cats in Lincoln Park to control the rat problem.
Right, so there are already thousands in any major city, including Chicago, of community cats or feral cats out there. They shouldn't be out there, but that's the reality. They've been out there in cities all over the world for thousands of years. Yeah. They do live with us. So we ought to spay neuter them so they cannot continue reproducing. Treehouse and other shelters do that. That's a wonderful thing. Why not relocate those cats, though, to where the rats are? And Treehouse has been working with aldermen to do this now for several years, and it works.
Yeah.
So when the cats move in, the rats put up a for sale sign,
and gone.
They are really fast. They're gone. They don't care how much they're selling their property for. They're out of there because they don't want to.
So this is an actual. This is an actual thing that's happening.
Yeah, it's called the Cats at Work program.
The Cats at Work program.
Yeah, and this is much more effective than fining people for not picking up something that rats don't eat anyway. Again, I want people to pick up after their dog, but the idea, the notion that one alderman and our mayor is suggesting that this has to do with the rat problem is just untrue.
Okay. All right, one more time. How can people adopt from you guys and Lucy in particular? One more time with the website and all the info.
Sure. They can go to our website. It's onetail.org. We have an adoption application on there, and you can look at Lucy's profile. And we're open at our Bucktown Adoption Center Thursday through Sunday, so you can come in and meet Lucy and all our other adoptable dogs.
Okay. And it's a beautiful dog. Thank you for bringing her in.
Oh, we're going to get this dog adopted.
Absolutely.
We need
we'll
to do
we'll
that.
We'll get her adopted right now. So get out there and check out WGNRadio.com as well. Steve, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Heather, nice to meet you.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break here, and Bill and Wendy are coming up.